Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing?
Baseball.
Well, for us, it is house selling. I tell you what, the sunny weather, we saw 85 this last week,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Couple days.
I mean, touched 85, and I tell you what, there was a lot of people out looking. Our market, we talked about it last week, the last month and a half, is hot. I mean, busy. We're record-breaking, really. New records being set. Not only for the market, but for the Kenmore team also. It is just absolutely fantastic. We are loving it. As always, helping us make that happen on the money side of things, we have our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Lance, doing fantastic. My team and I are doing about the same. You know, I feel like we're going to post a record month here this month, and we're keeping busy and handing money out right and left.
I love it.
Here you go.
That is absolutely fantastic. Well, I tell you what, let's talk Seahawks and real estate. So it looks like Pete Carroll just sold his Seattle lakefront home. So it was an off-market deal, and it was first reported by the Puget Sound Business Journal. And it sounds like, I mean, who recently, you know, had signed a contract extension last year that runs through 2016. He had a 3,800 square foot home that he sold that had 75 feet of private waterfront on Lake Washington.
Mm.
So a little bit interesting because he only, it looks like from property records there, that he bought that home less than a year ago.
Hmm.
So it's kind of off-market sale, you know. They're using public records. You don't know for sure. Maybe an upgrade. I mean, I bet we'll have another story later on. He still owns homes. Public records show that he still owns homes back in California, Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach. So I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
With his second properties that he still owns.
Hey, to tie into the Seahawks real quick, John, did you see that we're going to be able to get the back and forth over with by week two?
Schedule
really? Just came out this last week.
I hadn't had a chance to look.
Week two, we're going to go head-to-head.
What makes it even better
but
is that Seattle is going to Green Bay.
Oh, yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there might be an opportunity for me to be there at Lambeau Field.
I might have to come up with some Green Bay real estate stories just to signify the significance of that event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking about Pete Carroll owning second homes and having other homes still in California, pulled up some stats and very, very interesting statistic when we relate this back to the real estate market. Sales of vacation homes and second homes are skyrocketing. So when we look, according to Elliot Eisenberg, PhD economist, if we look last year, 2014, a record 1.1 3 million vacation properties were sold. That is
Wow. Literally
that is 21% of all sales. Of all sales last year, of all home sales, 21% vacation homes. And that's up 57% from 2013. So now part of this comes from, okay, we've got the boomers now, and a lot of the baby boomers are buying second homes that they'll eventually retire to.
Mm-hmm.
So you've still got that income coming in. You're getting used to it. You can pay down the mortgage. Let's buy that second home in Phoenix, you know, because Allegiant flies there direct now, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's,
I am aware.
And I could give you a great referral to an agent down there that helps me with this if
okay.
you need to. So let's buy that second home in Phoenix, you know, and then eventually retire down there so we have some establishment with what's going down there.
So people are selling quote-unquote vacation properties and buying second retirement homes.
Yep, absolutely. Or using them as vacation properties, you know, in the meantime, and then converting them to their primary residence. So there's a lot of that going on. A lot of that also is due to strong gains in the financial markets. So it's kind of this weird dynamic where the vacation home, second home market increased and the investment homes overall fell a little bit. Still, though, owner-occupied purchases last year, 3.23 million, 60% of all sales. But I was really shocked to see 21% of all sales nationwide last year be second homes.
No, that is real interesting. You make a lot of assumptions off of that, and I think you just touched on it. You know, the financial markets gaining, economy improving, people feeling more comfortable with their savings and their financial situation. So that's great to see, great to hear.
Absolutely. So one of the things to further tie in with that subject that I wanted to talk about today, and what happens and kind of relates to our hot market that we have right now. So we've talked about it. We've got low inventory. We're under a 3-month supply of homes right now in this market. And so one of the things, we've always done shows that talk about buying and owning and operating investment properties, rental properties and investment properties. But one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about is your exit strategy for that. So when should we sell that investment property? Well, depending upon when you've bought and what you've been looking at, I would say a seller's market would be a good start. And so that is something that we definitely have going on right now. And so you look at some of the options that are going on. So number one, when you're getting ready to sell an investment property or trying to consider to do that, you've got to look at the different types of analysis that you can do. And number one is the financial analysis of when to sell the property. And there's a lot of different theories and stuff out there about this. But the first thing that you should really, really look at is a lot of people use the real estate investment properties as a tax savings vehicle for gaining income. So one of the things you really need to look at is the tax consequences when you do sell that investment property. And so you need to get with your local CPA that knows those laws, knows those rules, and get a figure for what type of tax consequences are you going to have if you pull the trigger and sell this property. The next thing that you need to look at is the yield, measuring the yield you have for continuing to hold the property. And so what that is the amount of money that could be freed up by a sale at this current time, and then those after-tax dollars based upon tax assumptions. So what would the yield be if you had that cash free and were putting it into another investment? And so looking at what that would be returning to you is another major, major factor to look at. The third thing to use in that equation is income trends. What have rents been doing in the local market? Have you maxed out your potential for this rental property? Say you had a single family residence that, 12 years ago you were out at Road 68 and there were no other apartments out there, no other options out there, and you were just always just never empty, full vacancy, and just maximizing your rents. Well, now maybe you look around and you're like, oh, well, wow, there's a new 300-unit apartment complex, and there's a new 400-unit apartment complex at Road 100. How much more can I get now that has changed in the market? So you look at that changing demographic and say, okay, if I've maxed out what I'm going to return there, and if for the style of house I have, I've maxed out my potential growth value. I mean, you remember the sign out by the freeway out there when they first started building those at Road 68, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
$89,000 starting
prices.
Oh,
it's been a while, hasn't it?
Let me tell you what something looks like now if it's $89,000 out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not brand new.
No.
Not even close. But so those have had a lot of appreciation. And you can look at, okay, now may be the time that I grab that equity, move that money either into another investment or move it into another property. The other thing to consider when you're looking at moving that to another property is, could I exchange that? Since that is an investment property, could I utilize what's called a 1031 exchange? And if you get with your accountant, there's a lot of tax advantages. A lot of times the gains within those properties can be held and not taxed if they're moved to another property. So this is a huge, huge process and advantage that investors can use to roll into, maybe they're into a different area now. Maybe they've identified the next Road 68 that they want to move to. They want to take all those gains and then do another 12-year investment where they've doubled up those gains again. And so those are some of the things that we need to consider on the financial side. Now, there's a lot of non-financial influences. One of them I already touched on. And when we come back from the break, we're going to look at those non-financial influences, maybe property goals. We're going to talk about changing demographics in areas. And so we're going to see how do those influence when I decide to sell. So a little bit different than any show we've ever done before. We've always talked about buying and owning and holding investment properties. Realized in a hot seller's market, I needed to do a show on what's my exit strategy? How can I get out of my investment property or roll into a bigger investment property? We're also going to look at the money side of things with Tom at Umpqua when we come back.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about investment properties, buying and selling, what you need to know when you're purchasing these investment properties, also on past investments that you've had. Maybe in a hot seller's market, it's time to sell that rental, take that money and parlay that up into another property. So one of the things we always talk about is what a different environment that is than in, say, regular owner-occupied residential. So, Tom, let us know on the money side of those things what we're dealing with.
You know, Lance, I love talking about investment properties. It's something I'm passionate about. I know you are as well. But I just think it's a great way for people to build long-term wealth. And if you have a client or an individual who's saying, thinking they're going to sell one of their investment properties and want to turn it into another one or potentially two more because they've built some equity up, then that's what I want to chat about and how the financing would look like. Now, I'm a residential loan officer, so that's four units and less. And anytime you get above four units, then it's going to turn into commercial financing. And if you're looking for an apartment complex, I could certainly line you up with a commercial lender, but we're going to mainly talk about four units and less. If you're looking to purchase a one-unit investment property, you're going to need to come up with 15% down. However, the mortgage insurance is going to be pretty high. And generally, what I find is that if someone has the ability to come up with 15% down, they could do 20. And why doing 20%? You're going to get out of that PMI and you're going to get a better interest rate. But then rates get even better when you can get to 25% down. So that's what I generally say is make your goal to try to get 25% down. So maybe you did buy an investment property and you've built some equity up and you want to sell it and then use the proceeds you have to go buy two more. And now maybe you're increasing your cash flow twofold. So something to consider. Now, I even have programs where, let's say a first-time homebuyer comes in and they want to buy a duplex or maybe even a fourplex. We can use FHA financing if they're going to live in one of the units and they can get in with just 3.5% down payment. And then they can take advantage of getting income from the other units to help offset their mortgage payments. And we could even use that prospective rental income to help qualify for the loan. So really, really good feature and helps someone get into becoming a landlord and being able to keep close tabs on your renters by living in the units. Now, rates right now, you've probably heard, are just about as low as they've ever been.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely
fantastic.
It's incredible.
Ridiculous with a capital R.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's incredible. So let's say you already have rentals and you're happy with them. You want to keep them. You should probably be pulling out your mortgage statement and looking at what your interest rate is. I read an article that 30% of Americans don't know what their interest rate is. And that blows my mind. I mean, I'm a lender, but you should know what your interest rate is. So next time you get your statement in the mail, pull it out and let's look at that rate. If you think that you could be getting a better interest rate, you should be giving me a call and we'll talk about potentially either increasing your cash flow by refinancing you to a new 30-year loan or a 20-year loan at a much lower interest rate, or maybe we'll be able to shave off 5, 10 years off your mortgage by going to a 15-year and potentially keep your payment around the same. So investment properties are fantastic. I'm very passionate about it. If you ever have questions on maybe selling an investment property, purchasing a new one, want to know how those financing options would look, please feel free to reach out to me anytime.
Tom, that's great information. And I really like what you said about a lot of people don't know what the interest rate is. Sometimes I found
that used to be us.
Sometimes I found that investors are even the worst on some of that stuff. You know, say they a couple years ago got into that investment property and the rent has always covered the payments, mm-hmm. so nothing to really worry about. The rent's coming in, the payments are made. But then all of a sudden you think, gosh, that's been 3, 4, 5 years ago. Oh my goodness. You know, if I look at my rate, I'm at, you know, 5.5 or 6% on investment property. You could have 2 or 3 investment properties where you could change those rates, and it makes a huge, huge difference
pay
to
them
the
off
bottom
a lot
line.
Faster.
Drastic savings.
You can pay them off much faster and just increase your cash flow. Really will really help. And that goes back to the topic that we were talking about today, and that is, when should you sell that investment property? One of the things we come across a lot, and that is, what was the original goal in having that investment property in the beginning? Very, very popular. A lot of people, it's, you know, the same logic that I used. A lot of people end up, they have kids and they're like, well, I'll tell you what, why don't I buy a rental house for each kid, put those on a 15-year mortgage, and then that way, right before they go to college, that house is paid off. And I can sell that house and use that for their college tuition. Well, 15 years goes by really fast sometimes, and then college is here, and you're looking around, and you're like, oh, I've kind of gotten used to that monthly income. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have increased how much you make at your job, and so you really have to sit back down and say, okay, this was originally why I bought the property. Here's now where we're at that point where we had our exit strategy. Does it still make sense for us to pull the trigger on that and execute? Or do we sit down and say, you know what, we now have more monthly income than we ever thought we had, and we can actually cover those bills with our monthly income and keep the property? But that's a very important analysis to have, and that is, remember why you had purchased that property and if it still makes sense for you to go ahead and pull the trigger on getting that sold. We talked about some of the non-financial characteristics of why you wanted to potentially sell a property. Changed goals can be a part of that. What happens if originally you didn't travel very much, you were at a job in town, that 15-year mortgage comes up, it gets paid off, all of the sudden kids are out of the house, and you're traveling a lot. And you look at the time commitment that might be required. Maybe you're managing those rentals yourself. So you're doing the lawn care yourself. You're taking care of that. Well, now if you're gone for 2 or 3 weeks on trips, or, you know, you're gone, you know, 1 week a month.
Crusty lawn.
Yeah, crusty lawns can sneak up on you. You say that. I know that because I had a problem. Last week, I was at one of my rentals because the underground irrigation valve had gone bad. Oh. So we couldn't turn it on. So, you know, we had to dig it up. And by the way, I've got to tell you, City of Pasco Irrigation Works Department, and if any of those guys are out there listening, so we were over on Texada Lane in Pasco with one of my rentals. And I tell you what, I called those guys at like 4 o'clock on like a Tuesday night. They called back from their cell phone, said, how can we help? What's the address? And the next morning, Fick came out and fixed the valve.
Wow.
And so anyway, whenever I have great experience with the city and the works department, so thank you so much to City of Pasco Irrigation, because we were happy to have our water on before our lawn got too bad. But those type of things, you know, here you are. And that took me a little time to manage that and answer those calls. So if lifestyle changes and those don't, and your goals have changed, you might want to relook at, now might be the time to sell that investment property. So that changing goals is another thing that I had written down for that. The other big thing, which we touched on briefly, is changing demographics in an area. Maybe you bought to get a lot of increased appreciation in a property. And so you bought into an area where you said, you know what, if this appreciates 1 to 3% a year for the next 10 years, then I'm in great shape. But you, at that point, maybe there was no new construction around you. Well, all of a sudden, say they change an urban growth boundary. And so you were in an area where there were no other homes available. So it naturally kept your value really high. Well, all of a sudden, say they move the urban growth boundary out, and now they're going to put 300 homes just like yours in the same neighborhood. You probably are going to lose some of your appreciation, right? Yeah. Because before you were appreciating at a faster rate than the market because you had that location. Well, now a governmental change like that, now you don't have that advantage anymore. So you might say, with that other land available and those other houses coming online, maybe now I bought that, you know, 1,100 square foot AHO home, you know, in the late 90s for 89, and I look at the market right now and those are going under contract at 150. I mean, it's crazy numbers out there. Maybe that is the top end for that model now for a while, and I take advantage of the seller's market and go ahead and sell, move it to a new area that's going to start that growth cycle again. Because now maybe the highest and best use for that property isn't an investor, but it's somebody actually wanting to buy it for new their single family residence. And that's one of the bonuses of being able to have the flexibility with properties like that. So there are a lot of reasons why you might want to look at rolling some of that money, selling those investment properties, rolling them into new investments, sitting down with your financial planner, sitting down with your accountant, looking at the tax consequences, and deciding what is the best move in that case. Pick three. Oh my gosh. I'm having trouble keeping things on the market long enough to get to the radio show for a pick three.
A tough problem to have.
Good problem.
So these things are rocking and rolling on and off the market. But I grabbed the newest ones. We just put some amazing listings on that are absolutely fantastic. So pick number one, I've got 5311 Bakerloo Lane. This is out there in West Pasco, Sandifer, Road 100 exit. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath house. It's big, 2,500 square feet. Ooh. Large living room, gas fireplace, kitchen with the breakfast bar. You've got the dining that goes off the slider to the deck, and then they extended the patio outside to be the whole width of the house. So you've got an extended patio. It's on the right side of the street, so you get that afternoon shade on that big, large patio. Situated really, really well. Plus, it's got RV parking. So they had RV parking, three-car garage. Ooh. And that's coming in at $195.
Hmm.
So this is Bakerloo right off of Sandifer.
Somebody's
going to
steal a property.
Less than $100 a square foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a fantastic, fantastic property. Just on the other side of Road 68, same general area, we've got 5503 Coolidge Court. This is another, this one is another great, great big house. This is five bedroom, three bath, 2463 square feet, and this place is dialed. This house is just a couple years old. It's got a ton of upgrades in it. Tile floors, designer paint finishes. You've got a loft-style family room on the upper level. Huge master bedroom with private bathroom, dual sink vanity, and then the yard outside, professionally landscaped yard, absolutely beautiful landscaping. And once again, great, great price point there at $225.9.
Ooh.
So there are some great, great deals that have just gone on the market, made adjustments, and these houses are dialed and ready to go. Now, pick number one, this is in South Richland. Absolutely incredible estate-like home. This is 2416 Tiger Lane. Now, this is a former parade home in South Richland. Three bedroom, three bath, plus a den. It's a Rambler, so it's almost 2,700 square feet, all on one level. You've got an open floor plan. They did upgraded slate floors. granite kitchen counters, and then they did on the back patio. The entertaining space on this is just absolutely incredible. So on the back patio, they did the disappearing glass wall.
Ooh,
so the four sections of the slider all stack away into the wall. What that opens up to is an in-ground pool. And next to that, and that is a gas-heated pool. So it's already open this early in the year. So it's in-ground, automatic cover. And then you've got a sunken cement fire pit, all plumbed with gas appliances. You just light those up, gas torches around the pool. I mean, this place is just absolutely, absolutely dialed. And for the, our golfers out there, a little mini putting green right beside the pool and the fire pit.
Huh. Wow.
This is coming in at $475. And it, for a former parade home at $475, a lot of those upgrades I just talked about were done after the home was built. And I'll just tell you, that stuff is not free, but it's at a 70% discount when we go to resell. The homeowner in this case knows, I mean, the amount that was spent to put all of this in, somebody's going to buy at $475, the way I calculate, somebody's going to buy that for 35, 40 cents on the dollar. So if you've been looking for that Rambler, extra large garage, just retirement, absolutely beautiful, beautiful home. And it doesn't have to be retirement. It could be a couple with one or two kids that's looking to move to that South Richland location. So amazing properties that we just put on the market. I say just because the other six sold before they got to the pick three. So that's the hand we've been dealt and we're dealing with. If you have any questions about selling investment properties, looking to do that, please let us know. Tom, how can people get a hold of you?
You can reach me at the office, 783-7300, or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we will be right back here next Saturday.
Right here on News Talk 870.